Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. I smell blood in the air. These young bloods is dying. Lot of moms is crying. Too much murder, but not enough man on Zion. Blood infests the waters like a jungle. You can't even provide for your daughter, so you hit the corner. Between the rock and the hard place, sell rocks in the hallway. Cause a rent due the next day, you're tired of struggle. But I wish your father loved you, and I wish your mother hugged you, so you won't go kill your brother. But it's time for change. Not enough love, I'm tired of playing games. Believe the Bible, if you don't, go live a life of shame. You ain't need no royal blood flowing through your veins, cause you a king and you a priest to the highest of reign. Consider this and remember this, the Torah is Genesis, Exodus and Leviticus. No more dichotomy, read numbers, Deuteronomy, cause that's what I love at. Throw my hands up and I'm out of here. Truth, music.
Gunfire, another Hebrew down. Jacob's troubles approaching and it's hard to smile. They killing us without a care in the world. Then hold us as innocent, I guess they following the word. Plus this pain runs deep. Watch your fam lose faith, make it hard to sleep. Earthquakes, brothers drowning in water. And that FEMA truck seem to get closer and closer. But still, we turn on one another. When Yah gave the order, love one another. Your brothers keep or protect your own people, but we only worry about being the white man's equal. This is the sequel for already took place. Egypt, America, different time but same race. Keep pace, keep your eyes on Yah. Choose like keep the commandments or get ready to die.
Something much more than them chemtrails. I feel the spirit of the details scribed in the scrolls of Revelation. Four horsemen racing, secret plots manifest from United Nations. I smell the smoke of Satan's lies in the air. Stay aware, cause that angry lion keep a cold stare. Accuse you day and night right before the throne. Mad as hell, it's time shorty. Ain't trying to die alone or off in zone. Sit back and watch the hourglass as hands of time tune the past. Once the market's burning crash, a digital angel replaces paper cash. You take the pieces, mark, you won't escape Yahweh's wrath. That's coming in the form of the marvelous one, whose words bloodies the moon and darkens up the flaming sun. For a tongue of sharp sword swings from his mouth, soon to kill all sinners, east, west, north, south. I feel it.
Yeah, the scripture says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it ain't no light in them. Shalom.
Keep your eyes open, man. You never know when the end coming, cause it's getting there.
Yeah. The end is here, man. Pay attention quick. The prince of the air is coming for your soul. Make sure you got control. Keep your Yahweh's laws. Shalom. Qom Yasha Allah.
Yo, release the bus on strike like King David. We be Yahweh's favorite. That raw view was the base beast. We marinated. Grab the swords and shields, then rush the battlefield. The runner snatch each of our wicked heels. Back into the pits of brimstone to blue fire. Bow his neck to the name of the Most High.
Okay, I think that's it. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Baba Kwatuwa. Yasha Allah, for the 12 tribes worldwide, man. I'm your brother, your host for this morning, as we do this every Tuesday morning, your brother Tazapa. Thanks for tuning in to the show. You are currently plugged into Blog Talk, sponsored by ISBHPK, Swore the Truth, and sending shots out to all our brothers, ISBHPK and VA, Rochester, Houston, our brothers here in San Antonio, Cowcop down in Guatemala. So thanks for tuning in to the show, y'all. Now, what I usually do, if it's your first time tuning in, I usually get the news or current events for about an hour, and then I get into the topic at hand. I hope everybody is doing good. I hope everybody had a good weekend. Mine was chill. Mine was cool. Hope everybody's healthy, man. Because I know it's not being publicized or broadcast, but it's very important, y'all, to get your immune system up, man. Get your immune system up. And, man, monitor the stuff you're putting in your mouth. What I mean by that is, man, your food consumption, man. It's time to back away from all the fried chicken and today is Tuesday, right? So you trying to run the Popeyes and get the Popeyes two-piece and the biscuit for $2, whatever it is. It's time to cut all that nonsense out, y'all. Because this COVID, coronavirus, COCO, whatever you want to call it, is real, man. It's definitely real. My sister is recovering from it now. She's still having complications, breathing and energy level, but she's coming around. Plus, I know a couple brothers got hit up in ABQ, and I'm sorry for not sending shouts out to those brothers. Shouts out, big shouts out to our ABQ Albuquerque brothers out there holding it down. Mashaba, Shaba, Bada Bada out there. And the boys, man, putting in work, growing, learning, becoming young, responsible men. Can't say enough about what those boys out there doing, man, and the progress. As well as the new brothers that have been added. And some old brothers who have rejoined the sheepfold. Big shout out to my brother Bar, man. What's up, Ak? Shalom. My fellow engine. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, man. Get your immune system up. And if you don't have the COVID cocktail remedy, I'm going to give it to you right now. It's been floating around, Yasha Allah. I've had several people hit me up. Israel, not Israelites. It don't matter, man. I'm just all about helping my people in any form, any shape that I can do that in. But the cocktail recipe is as follows. Oregano oil, peppermint oil, clove oil, garlic oil, ginger oil, buffered vitamin C. And what you're going to do is you're going to mix these ingredients in half a cup of OJ, half cup OJ, okay, not the whole cup. You don't want to dilute it so much. The only reason the OJ is added is to dilute the taste. And get a straw and drink it because the oregano is definitely going to burn your lips, all right? And you're going to drink this 3 times a day. That's for those that are coming down with something or they think they might have the virus. But also, you can just pop this on the daily, man, just to keep your immune system intact. Or you could get you some, some elderberry. Some elderberry and keep that going periodically throughout the week as your daily routine. Or some selenium. Selenium is also good for boosting your immune system. And like I said, man, it's very important to get your diet together. Stop eating all the processed crap. Back away from the table a little bit, man. Skip a couple meals. It's okay if you only eat twice a day or in some cases once a day, man. It ain't going to hurt you to miss a meal. All right? But thanks for tuning in to the show. I'm your brother, Tazi Pa. Blog Talk Radio, man. Talk about Tuesdays. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Talk About Tuesdays. Talk About Tuesdays. Talk About Tuesday is going down every Tuesday. And like I always do, let me open up with Psalm chapter 118 and verse 24, y'all. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, indeed. Good, bad, happy, or sad, man. Going through it. Embrace it. It's all by the hands of the Most High. All right, y'all. A lot has went on this past weekend and last weekend and last week. Sorry, y'all. I wasn't here to do the show. Life call. Had to make some moves, do some things. I know the earthquakes demolished Haiti. And they also had a tropical storm to follow the earthquakes. Man, the Most High is not playing, man. And I don't know what the hell they doing on the island of Hispaniola. But, man, they getting whooped on, man. I guess it's all the voodoo. And I forgot what the 9.5 call it, the Spanish-speaking tribes, but it's the same thing. Santa Maria, it's the same thing, man. And in case y'all didn't know, the island of Hispaniola is separated by a river. So you got the DR on one side, the Dominican Republic, you got Haiti on the other side. And I was curious. I'm like, man, why are you always saying stuff about, you know, the Haitians being, you know, the calamities hitting them and them being distressed and the things they go through, but you don't really hear nothing about the DR side. And I'm like, then how the hell is that possible? An earthquake is not touching the land that's only across the river. Why isn't it publicized? But I think they do that on purpose because Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and it's predominantly, I ain't going to even say predominantly, it's black folks, man. But what people don't know is the Dominicans is black as any other nation in Israel, man. Dark as any one of the tribes. Yeah, and they'll say that, too. And they'll say, me no negro. And I remember, what's the brother, the comedian, Godfrey. He did a little skit a couple of years back. And he was making fun of them saying that. He was like, man, if you eat this, you are Negro. And he held up a plantain. But they got that going on. And my thoughts, my prayers go out to those brothers and sisters over there, man. Hope the Most High has mercy on them. Hope they can get it right, man. Put the voodoo down, man. Serve the living power, man. Serve your power. Serve who you were created to serve. What about them? Oh, yeah. I've been covered that. Yeah, because they've been getting hit, man. Like Marie was bringing up, the president was assassinated, and we know that's CIA coup. But it's not a coincidence because I believe that they are heavily using that weather machine because I don't know if y'all heard about the floods that they just had down in Nashville. I don't know if they hit all of Tennessee, though, because I only heard about Nashville. But I don't know. Maybe it hit Memphis, or maybe they didn't cover Memphis because they don't really want to talk about the niggas because, you know, there's a lot of niggas in Memphis. But my thoughts and prayers go out to those brothers and sisters as well, man. May the Most High bless y'all, have mercy on y'all, bless y'all back to health, back to where y'all can function. But let me get into this. Now, I have quite a bit of news to cover. Let me see where I'm going to start at. Let me start with this lying ass dude. Let me see. Here we go. And this is a video, y'all. It might have a commercial to it, but let me play it for y'all. And this is the White House's, I forgot this dude's title. I guess he's the, what they call it, the chief health or something? Some dude with health, Fauci. No, he's not the Surgeon General. He's like the, I forgot the official name. I'll find it, though. But this is a recording of Fauci, y'all, on CNN with Fruity Temple Anderson Cooper. Check it out.
Want to cook some HelloFresh today?
Yeah. This is a commercial, y'all. Forgive me. Let me try to run through it. Nah, they ain't going to let me skip it. Bear with me, y'all.
First of all, I can't believe I made this. And second, it was so easy and so fast. Go to HelloFresh.com and use code POD14 for up to 14 free meals.
All right, here we go.
FDA approval in a moment. First, I do want to ask you something about that you said to NPR today. You said if the majority of Americans get vaccinated, quote, we could start to really get some good control over this as we get back into the fall of 2022, a year from now. Is that best case scenario?
Now what Anderson Cooper is saying is it's a quote that he heard him say. Now watch this little line, dude.
Look like.
No. You know, Anderson, I have to apologize. When I listened to the tape, I meant to say the spring of 2022, so I didn't misspeak. And in the conversation with Mary Louise Kelly, she was saying, when do I think we're going to start to get some control? I said, if we can get through this winter and get really the majority, overwhelming majority of the 90 million people who have not been vaccinated, I hope we can start to get some good control in the spring of 2022. I didn't mean the fall. I misspoke. My bad.
I misspoke. My bad. Hey, you talking about Mary Louise Keller, which is part of the NPR team, my go-to news when I'm riding in the car, because sometimes, yeah, I just get sick of hearing music. And I just want to be informed, man, see what's going on. But apparently he was on NPR. I missed the interview, and he said something, but now he's recanting his statement, talking about he misspoke, my bad, so-and-so. But this dude is famous for speaking out both sides of his neck. I don't know if y'all seen this. Fox did, like, a little skit with all of his contradictions and the lies he's been selling. Y'all should be able to Google it, man. I don't know what it would be on. I guess Fauci lies, his Rolodex of lies. I don't know what the hell you could Google. But you can find it because Fox did it, man. It was hilarious. This dude is constantly lying. But I'm going to play the rest of the interview. Then I'm going to play you something else from this clown.
What does control, what does that mean? Or what does that look like to you?
Well, to me, that means that you have either the overwhelming majority of the population vaccinated, those who have been infected will have and have cleared the virus, will have a degree of protection, and we are recommending that those people also get vaccinated because the degree of protection that you could induce in someone who's been infected, who has then recovered, and then vaccinated is an enormous increase in the degree of protection.
I think that he thinks just because he has the title doctor on his name that people automatically just think he's right and won't question the dumb stuff that comes out of his mouth, man. Did y'all hear what he just said, man? So somebody that's been infected and then has a vaccine, the chances of them catching the virus is slim, but now they're coming with damn booster shots. So how does that make sense? How does that make sense? And they're pushing this campaign for everybody to go get vaccinated. And it's coming, y'all. They're going to make it mandatory because the FDA just made it. It's not the vaccine is not just emergency use anymore. It's like they legitimize it to where they can make it mandated. And it's coming to your job. It's coming to your place of employment, whatever your hustle might be or your livelihood might be. And it's also going to come to these stores and these gyms and these things that you like doing on the day-to-day. So get your mind right, y'all. Get prepared for it. It's right around the corner.
do that with the people who have been infected, get them revaccinated. The people who are unvaccinated now, that 90 million people, get them vaccinated. I think we can get a degree of overall blanket protection of the community that as we get into the early part of 2022, getting through the winter, which could be complicated by influenza, by respiratory syncytial virus, that as we get into the spring, we could start getting back to a degree of normality, namely reassuming the things that we were hoping we could do, restaurants, theaters, that kind of thing.
Hey, homie, I got news for you. People are already doing that.
President.
They're already doing it.
Unites them.
Hello, sorry about that, y'all. People are already doing that, clown. Where you been at? They've been opening the movie theaters back up and everything else, man. Everybody's running around without face masks because y'all told them that they ain't have to wear them no more. And what's crazy, too, man, it's the same thing I've been saying, man. They pushing this virus or these vaccines, but they're not pushing anything about boosting your immune system, about over-the-counter supplements you can pick up at the grocery store, Whole Foods, Sprouts, or any health store. They ain't pushing none of that, or just foods in general that boost your immune system. They ain't pushing none of that. You know why they ain't pushing none of it? Because they want you to get vaccinated, man. That's the end-all, be-all for them. They want you to use their drugs. They're making money hand over fist because somebody got to pay for these damn vaccination shots. They ain't free. All right, so let me play this right now. This is the same clown doing more lies. And I don't know if y'all knew this, but they had a hearing on Capitol Hill. It was on C-SPAN, but you know how we be. We'd rather Netflix it than to watch C-SPAN. But they had this. This was televised on C-SPAN. And they made inquisition into the Wuhan China lab.
Yeah.
They went into it, man. And this clown was there, lying as usual. Let me play it. You seen that, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, he did when he clearly got caught up in his lie. Are they showing it on CNN, too?
They have showed it, yeah, for a while, but they showed it on CNN.
Come on, I hope this ain't a commercial. Here we go. Come on, man, where my volume at?
Viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017.
Now, yeah, I've been telling y'all this, right? They got the virus initially from Fort Detrick here in the States. They sold it to Wuhan, and they have been experimenting with it. It originally had a 30% kill rate, but they boosted it up, genetically enhanced it. Now it has a 90%, if not 100% kill rate. Well, I ain't going to say 100% because I'll be dead right now. Me and I got it. But they boosted up to a 90% kill rate. But this is what this dude is saying.
Pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as, the Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens, that exist only in the lab, not in nature.
Did you hear what he said? It only exists in the lab, not in nature. It was created. And if you're not familiar with what he's talking about, he's talking about the National Institution of Health, the NIA, which Fauci is part of. But let me continue.
Research matches, these are Dr. Ebright's words, this research matches, indeed epitomizes, the definition of gain-of-function research done entirely in Wuhan.
Now, he said gain of function research, y'all. I didn't know what that was, so I had to look it up. Now, I'll trip off of this. So this is what gain of function research means. Gain of function research, and I got this from Wikipedia. Gain of function research is medical research that genetically alters an organism in a way that may enhance the biological functions of gene products. So they enhance it, like I've been saying. But anyway, here we go.
For which there was supposed to be a federal pause. Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan? Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. Let me finish.
Take an animal virus and you increase the transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about.
He gets mad at Senator Paul. I don't know what he's talking about. That man sounds like he know what the hell he's talking about to me. And he's reading from research papers that was given to him. So it's not like he's coming with his own opinion. But let's go on.
Quite frankly, and I want to say that officially, you do not know what you are talking about.
Let's
okay, you get
NIH,
one person
straight from the NIH claim of gain of function.
This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this.
You hear the dude lying? It's by his own definition. He said it was gain of function, but now he's saying it's not. His own definition. Here we go.
You're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world
okay.
from a pandemic.
And let's Dr. Fauci.
I have to, well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2, that's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well,
don't
wait
know
a minute.
It did
I
come
can,
to the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab. There will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself. I totally
This committee
resent,
will allow the witness to respond.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because if you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
It
no
is,
one is
molecularly
those viruses caused the pandemic.
What we're alleging is that gain-of-function research was going on in that lab, and NIH funded it.
That is
and
not
get away from it. It meets your definition, and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth.
Senator
you are the one.
Time is expired, but I will allow the witness to.
Let me just finish. I want everyone to understand that if you look at those viruses, and that's judged by qualified virologists and evolutionary biologists, those viruses are molecularly impossible
no one's
to
saying
result
they are. No
in SARS-CoV-2.
Caused the pandemic.
We're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it. And you
admit the truth.
And you implying...
Senator Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses to come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent that. And if anybody
you mean you totally resemble that, not resent it, because that's what y'all did, man, but you're still lying about it. Hold on, y'all. Let me skip down a little bit. I want to get this dude's title, man. Let me see if it's on here. Let's So Fauci oversees the NIH research program as director of the National Institution of Allergy and Infectious Disease. So that's his stake in it. I'm trying to get his official Washington title, though. And he supposedly is a top infectious disease expert. No, I once heard that an expert is somebody that complicates things. But I like the way the senator was on his ass, man, and he wouldn't let him snake out of it. And that's why he got so upset. Because, like even the scripture said, man, your own mouth has convicted you, man. Your own mouth, your own damn lies you got caught up in. Anyway, I can't find this clown's title, but he has a title something to do with the government. They hold this dude in high esteem, like he's the expert, and he knows everything about the virus, how to avoid it, so on and so forth. Man, this dude is a damn clown, man. But they supposedly are, or they have, yeah, here it is. In May, the Senate passed legislation that prohibits U.S. agencies from funding the Wuhan lab, and lawmakers. And the House of Representatives have a similar bill in the works. So they passed this bill back in May, man, but why pass it now? Why pass it now? Why the hell are you even experimenting with viruses in the first damn place? You know, this is the nature of Esau, man. It's, and the scripture said, Obadiah said, how are the things of Esau sought out? And you got the whole world, other nations, trying to do the same thing he's doing, trying to be inquisitive in things that they don't need to be inquisitive about following this clown's lead, man. Then this dude's just sitting up there telling bald-faced lies, but that's what they do, man. I want to get St. John chapter 8 and verse 44. And it reads, it says, you are of your father, the devil. Right, and the word devil means deceiver. It says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Now, this is Yahweh Shai talking to Hebrew Israelites, telling them that they are their father the devil. What he was talking about was not a biological father, but a spiritual father. You can read the rest of the chapter, and he breaks it down. But this is what he was talking about. This is the spirit that we be having on us. But this spirit comes from Esau, because when he said of your father the devil, let me read the rest of it. Read it from the beginning. St. John 8:44. You of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, who was the world's first murderer? It was Cain. He killed Abel, remember? So Cain was the spiritual offspring of Satan. The devil, that's his son. He says, and abode not in truth, because remember, after he killed Abel, when the Most High asked what Abel was, he lied, said he didn't know. He said, and then got smart, talking about, am I my brother's keeper? It says, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh, he speaketh a lie, like this Fauci clown. If this dude's talking, he's lying. If his mouth is open, he's lying. He says he's speaking of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Who told the first lie? It was Cain. Who killed the first man? It was Cain, killing his brother Abel, then lying about it to the Most High. You got some stones on you to lie to the Most High, man. But this is this clown, man, and I hope y'all are not listening to this clown and actually adhering to the things he's, that are coming out of his mouth. Because, like I said, if his mouth is open, he's lying. All right, let me get into, was that all I had for that? Let me see. Did I have another scripture? No, that's all I had for that, man. So let me get into this, man. And y'all probably have heard about this one. And I'm going to read the headline. It says, and this is from 6 South Florida News. Motivational speaker arrested for February assault of teen in Miami. Michael Noack Jr., also known as Brother Polite, surrendered to police Monday for the alleged sexual battery of a 14-year-old girl in a hotel room in February. The alleged victim is the daughter of woman Noack, 37, was romantically linked to, according to police. Defense attorney David Torres says his client is innocent. Once the evidence is produced, he is going to be exonerated, Torres said. So, yeah, not guilty, nothing else. And let me see, because I think I had, let me, here we go, y'all. Let me play it for y'all. Sorry, commercial.
Help some of your best summer with great deals at the Toyota Big One Sales Event.
Come on, y'all, damn commercials y'all gonna play. Oh, my goodness. Oh, y'all gonna show the damn ad or what? I mean, didn't know it was. Okay, y'all. That's taking too damn long. Let me finish reading. All right, it says, according to the police report, Noack, who is a motivational speaker and author and lives in Los Angeles, asked the woman if he could take her daughter to an after party at a club in Miami. And her daughter's like 14, man. So this is strike number one. Why are you taking this little girl to a damn club? And not just a club, an after party. And we know for us ex-club goers or current club goers that the after party starts after the club is closed. So why you got a damn 14-year-old and you escorting her to a club? That's just not a good look, man. And I'm not saying the dude did it, but these are the allegations, allegedly. I says the report states Noack took the teen to his hotel after seeing that the club was closed. Club was closed, y'all. The report says the suspect gave the teen alcohol and started dancing and touching the teen inappropriately, groping her breasts, inner thighs, and buttocks. First of all, strike number one was you got a minor that you're taking to a club. Why are you even with her in the first place? Come on, man, stop. I mean, when I was volunteering coaching at the Y, they didn't want, like, you to be, like, left alone with you and just another kid. Rightly so. I ain't even want to put myself in that damn position. I wanted everybody to see what I was doing. I was working with these kids on basketball, and there was nothing else going on. But even the Y and different, like, boys, Boys and Girls Club, different places have, like, different rules and stipulations to protect the child, but protect you, too. But this dude is just putting himself out there if he was doing these things, all right, allegedly, all right, and then groping her, all right. But let me read on. It goes on to say, Noack tried to force the teen to perform oral sex on him. The teen allegedly passed out and woke up to Noack trying to make her throw up. The report says, these are serious allegations, but in any situation, there is always motive, Tarr says. This is a quote from his lawyer. There is always a lot behind the scene that the public is not going to be able to see. The report states that the girl's mother found her intoxicated and possibly on drugs with several swellings on her mouth and lips. It later states Norick told the mother not to call the police because it would ruin his career. Norick was served with a DNA warrant in June and surrendered to police on Monday. Now, if they serve you with a DNA warrant, they have some of your DNA. Well, they think they got some of your DNA. They want to match it. They got somebody's damn DNA. So something did happen to this girl because they took DNA. So I'm thinking maybe they did a rape kit. It says, Tara says that the police report is only an allegation, allegedly. His quote, "We have no doubt that he is not this person," the attorney said. "We're going to get him past this and back on with his life." That's what his attorney said, man. Brother Polite, man, if you did this, man, shame on you. Shame on you, Mr. Conscious. Mr. Conscious Community Guy. Now, let me read y'all this. Just to see, this is the stock that he comes from. And this is from 13WMAZ. Media outlet, and this is an older ad. This is from December 14th, 2018, but it's relevant. I'm going to read it, and you're going to see why it's relevant. Convicted cult leader Malachi York files $2 billion lawsuit. York, the former head of the Eton-based Nuwabian group, is now serving a 135-year sentence on federal child molestation charges. Child molestation charges. So he's been convicted of this, Malachi York. Why is this important? Tyler Powell, why are you reading this ad? Because this is Brother Polite's mentor. And I believe, don't quote me on this, this might not be actual, but I've heard that he married one of Malachi York's daughters. But this dude studies under Malachi York. And for us not familiar with Malachi York, this is the same cat that Erykah Badu, Outkast was studying under with all the lizard stuff. We were lizards that transform into aliens or aliens from lizards. I don't know how the nonsense goes, but this was part of his doctrine that he was teaching. This is why you see, and I don't know if y'all remember, the Outkast album, AT Aliens. Remember that one? With the aliens on the cover, and I think they had some lizards or something. But that's when Andre 3000 just went left completely and lost his damn mind, and everybody blamed it on Erykah Badu, but studying under the same dude she was studying, and I don't know if he brought her to her or vice versa. But anyway, let me read on the article. It says, where was I at? It says the former head of Putin County cult, now serving 135 years in child molestation charges, wants $2 billion. So he's filing a lawsuit. The YD York filed a lawsuit in Macon, U.S. District Court Thursday, demanding compensation for various government agencies. His three-page suit argues that he is a Native American and the U.S. legal system has no jurisdiction over him. I am not or never have been a part of this corporate state or the judicial system, York writes. He adds, the reason I am asking for the amount of money damages is because I think a message should be sent to everyone in North America that you should not rape, murder, pillage, or do treason, sedition, involuntary servitude, slavery, terrorism, fraud, extortion, grand theft, robbery, conspiracy, and racketeering against a Native American Moor. So this dude is calling himself a Native American Moor. I ain't even familiar with that, y'all, that terminology. Know a little bit about the Moor cats. They be on some other shit. But the article says, matter of fact, I ain't going to even read no more this article. But the reason, matter of fact, I got to get this part. It says, So these are his charges. 14 children testified against Yart. In 2014, a jury convicted him of 10 federal charges, including racketeering counts and transporting children across state lines for sexual purposes. Federal prosecutors claim that Yart molested and sexually abused countless children who were members of the Nuwabian group. 14 of those children testified in his three-week federal trial. Judge Ashley Royal gave Yart the maximum sentence, 1,620 months or 135 years. He is currently being held at the federal maximum security prison in Florence, Colorado. After his conviction, federal prosecutors seized the Edenton compound and demolished it. So he's trying to sue people for him going to jail, but as you can hear, people actually testified. 14 children testified that this, in fact, went down with him. And I'm not just trying to single out the conscious community, because we've had some things like this go on in Israel, because I don't know if y'all remember, but the self-proclaimed comforter, Tazadakia, had some allegations about him messing with minors, man. This is nothing new, man. It's not nothing new. It's a damn shame is what it is. And you might have certain brothers who try to justify this as far as taking a young lady of 13, 14 years of age, so on and so forth. Now, this may have been okay to do in ancient times, maybe part of our customs or whatnot, but remember what Paul said, y'all. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. The word expedient means proper. So even if it was back then, it ain't proper right now to do. It ain't. It's just not a good look, man. And I, for one, I'm not going to let my daughter, Heidi, is what, 12 now? I ain't going to let my damn 12-year-old daughter lay with no grown-ass man. You got me effed up, man. You're going to get some shots, some bullets up in his ass. Excuse my French, y'all, but I don't play that nonsense. We're not doing that. Not over here. Anyway, let me read this. This is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. It says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. See, and, you know, Yahweh Shai has been trying to warn us. He tells us in Matthew chapter 24 that there are many people going to rise and say that they are the Christ, they are the way. But that's why Christ said that he was the way and the truth, is no man come to the Father but by him, his way. So if it isn't written in the book, if they can't prove it to you, then you shouldn't follow that nonsense. Because we get it twisted thinking that people are just going to be coming in the name of Christ. No, people are going to be coming in the persona of Christ, like they on some level, like they are actually the Messiah, they're the Savior, and they want to have some titles or whatever, and you should follow them, and whatever they're putting down is the way of life, whether it be in the conscious community or in the Israelite community, man, or in the secular community in general, because you got a lot of niggas in the church saying the same thing, man. But this is what Christ says. He says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, meaning what? They come in meaning no harm. They going to come and have you put your guard down thinking just because it's black, because the dude's preaching something or teaching something that's black, I need to be a part of it because I'm black too. Because he's teaching something that's talking about our oppression, and I need to be a part of it too. This is why our people get mixed up. That's why you got so many brothers in the Nation of Islam and in the conscious community, because they come as sheep, like Christ said. I'm for you. I'm like you. I've had the black experience like you. We can relate. Me and you are the same, brother. Anything that's black. Come on, y'all. Like the Bible says, prove all things. The Bible also says, study show thyself approved. you better know what you believe and why you believe it. If you call yourself an Israelite and you believe in this Bible, you better know it. Because if you don't know it, then you're going to be one of the sheep that get caught up by these damn wolves who's coming to you in sheep clothing like they don't mean you any harm. If they can't show you in the Bible what they doing, why they doing it, don't follow that mess. Come on, y'all. Stop it. Going by what somebody said or somebody's program or what somebody thinks. No, it should be, thus it is written, or thus the Lord said. Let me read on. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Their fruits meaning their works. As he explains, he says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Because a grape tree is not going to produce no thorns. It's going to produce grapes. But you don't see nobody going to a grape tree to get the thorns off the grape tree. They're going to get the grapes. It says figs or figs of thistle. People are going to get figs off the fig tree, not the roughage that comes with it. But Christ said you're going to know these people by their works, by the things they're doing, by the way they move, by the way they operate, man. And this dude, for one, man, I've heard countless reports of this dude running off of people money. I'm talking about polite. Running off of people money. Scams he done ran. Allegations about him messing with young chicks. I mean, these are the things that's going on, man. But he's black. He's part of the struggle. And I've seen this dude on certain interviews. And the dude is very articulate. And a lot of the stuff he'd be saying, he'd be dead on the money with, man. But what did Christ say? Ye shall know them by their works. As we're going to get into, man, by their fruits. Because somebody can talk a good game, they give you information that's right on point, you agree with it, but look at the way they're moving. Look at the way they behave. Because, you know, even in the scriptures, I forgot, I think it's in Peter, it talks about the wise, the unbelieving wise being warned by the conversation of the wise. This is that chaste conversation coupled with fear. What it's talking about, man, is a lot of people that come to class, they're not necessarily just going to be learning what they're learning in class. They're going to be watching you. They're going to be watching how you move and how you do things. And that's what's going to win people over, man. That's what's going to win people off. For example, y'all might have relatives that know that y'all are in the truth. Y'all been operating this way for years, so on and so forth. And they might not agree with the way we live and the way we operate according to the Bible, but they see the love we have for each other, the unity we have for each other, how we there for each other, and they appreciate that and they gravitate to it. I know my mom was one. She can't deny that. She don't believe in the way I'm living and all this other stuff, and she blamed the truth for a whole bunch of stuff. But the one thing she can't deny is how stable I've been and how she's watched us operate as like a real family. Can't deny that, man. Anyway, going back to the scripture, it says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You see that, man? If somebody's doing good work, then it's going to reflect in their actions, their persona, their spirit. You're going to be able to see it. It says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So, man, this dude coming up under fire just like Malachi York. Because remember what the scripture tells you in, what is Jeremiah 23? It says, woe to the pasture that scattered the sheep of my flock, man. The word woe means destruction. You can't operate and be doing things under the Most High's knows and think you're getting away from it, because he says his eyes 10,000 times brighter than the sun. He sees everything. People think they'd be doing a little dirt in the dark, but remember the Most High created darkness. So how you getting away with something that you doing on the low or in the dark when he created the darkness? Because remember, you go back to Genesis, what was here before light? It was dark. Remember that? Then God said, what? Let there be light. So how you hide? How you think you're getting away from something? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, man. I like this scripture here. Because, you know, and my, this would be my question, man, to all these conscious niggas doing this conscious tip about Hotep and all this other nonsense. How's that helping your people? What are y'all laws and statutes that govern what your doctrine and what you believe in? Because I never see them pull out no law about nothing, about how they should. They, I don't see here no moral laws, civil laws, dietary laws. I don't see none of that. It's just basically, this is what we believe in, and you can't live your life by this. It's only historical knowledge. That's it. What's so beautiful about the Bible is, and the acronym even of the Bible, people say basic instructions before leaving earth. That ain't what it means, but I like it, because the Bible is an instruction manual before you pass over. Let me read Proverbs 6 and 23. And it reads, it says, for the commandment is a lamp. And remember, y'all, lamp represents light. Light represents wisdom. Like it says in Isaiah chapter 8 and 20, it says, if they speak not according to this law, it's because there is no light in them, meaning there's no wisdom in them. So if you're not speaking the Bible, there is no wisdom in them. So reading Proverbs 6 and 23 again, it says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction is the way of life, meaning what? You're going to constantly be reproved. Reproof means being corrected. You're going to constantly be corrected by the errors that you make through the duration of your life. By what? By the Bible. You want to say it's a beautiful book. It tells you how to raise your children, how to deal with your woman, how to deal with your man, what to eat, how to serve the Most High, what decisions to make regarding life in general, man. It has all the information here, but where is the conscious community's manual on day-to-day life? How to deal with your woman, how to deal with your man, how to raise your... Where is that at? I haven't seen that. I haven't seen anybody in the conscious community present that. All I see them come with is a bunch of history about who black people really are. Even for us in the Israelite community, man, the first thing you learn is who you are, who you belong to, your purpose. And then you start getting into what? Change. You actually changing and stop becoming the nigga or stop being the nigga that you are and become what? That God. Like it tells you, what is it, Psalm 83? I said that you're God. Right? You become acceptable. I remember that book. I read it years ago before I came into the truth. I wouldn't recommend it, but I was seeking for knowledge, man. The only reason I'm bringing it up because of the title, man. The title was From Niggas to God. Great title, man. Great title. But once you come into the truth, man, learn who you are and what your purpose is, then you got to work on changing you, changing your evil, jacked up, backwards-ass ways. But that's a work in progress, man, till Christ get here. A work in progress that we as Israelites should be doing, but a lot of us are running away from that. We're running away from the checks or the correction. That's why the scripture says this. I'm going to read it again. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. So the Bible is a light to direct you through those dark times, those times where you can't figure out which decisions to make. It says, and reproof of instruction or the way of life, man. You can't live a life without being corrected, either by the scriptures or being corrected by the Most High, the Spirit himself. Coming down and doing what? Handing you out a parking ticket? Handing you out a speeding ticket? You get in a car wreck? Or you got some type of health issue going on? You might lose your job. You got a boss that's in your ass 24/7. The Most High will deal with you. He has a variety of ways to get your attention, to know that you're tripping, to correct you, like it says. Reproof of instruction or the way of life. Nobody's perfect. Ain't nobody got all the answers. So what does that mean? We're going to make mistakes. And once we make those mistakes, we have to be corrected. No different than a child. The Most High even tells us, those he loves, he chastises. Every son or daughter, he chastens. It says, if you be without chastise, you about mean what? You ain't got no father, which means what? You ain't got no protection. People read that and they get it to, oh, he's a harsh God, not my God. But a father is your protection. Why do you think little girls that don't grow up having fathers have daddy issues and be out in the street looking for this man and that man to do what? To become their father figure, because that father figure represents what? Protection. But that's what the Bible is, y'all. That's what the Heavenly Father is to us. Our protection from ourselves. I haven't seen that in the conscious community. All right, that's all I got to say about that, y'all. I'm switching over now to the class, what you say, you better watch what you say, speaking in tongues. So, and it's just a continuation, y'all. A brother wanted the chapter broke down so you can get some understanding on speaking in tongues. And what speaking in tongues actually is, y'all, is speaking in a different language. And I'm just going to do just a little bit of a recap and read the definition of tongues. Definition of tongues is a spoken language. So tongues is a spoken language. It's not the humdala humdala or some language that somebody don't nobody understand. A spoken language, the power of communicating through speech. The power of communicating through speech. You can't communicate with the humdala humdala, y'all, or with the Babel. Remember the Tower of Babel where the Most High confound the languages of the people? Genesis chapter 11. Remember that? Babel. They couldn't understand each other's language. It just sounded like Babel to them. But speaking in tongues is just to speak a different language. That's all it is, y'all. There's nothing deep about that. All right, so I'm going to go to the chapter 14, and I think, yeah, I left off in verse, let me see, what verse did I leave off in? I think it was like I left off in verse 7. So let me read verse 7 again. So verse 7 says, read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7. And even things without life-giving sound, whether piped or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? And I was going over, because he's talking about instruments. Even when you deal with music, man, you got certain notes that you have to play. The piece of music, sound pleasant to the ear. But if you're hitting the wrong notes, then it's not going to sound pleasant. It's going to be like, man, what you doing? Set that noise up. This is what he's talking about. So he's using the concept of music. Then he goes so far as to use this example. Verse 8, he says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, how shall people, I'm sorry, how who, let me read it again, 1 Corinthians 14:8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? And I use the example of Numbers chapter 10, where it talks about the trumpet being blown for different occasions, whether it be war or calling the people together for a feast or a festival. But if you don't know the particular note that the horn is playing, you might get ready for the wrong thing. So it's using an example to show us that if somebody's speaking in a foreign language that you understand, you might misinterpret them and think they're saying something other than what they're saying because you don't understand the language. So verse 9, he says, so likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Meaning if nobody knows what the hell you're saying, you're just talking it over people's head, literally. You're literally talking over people's head because nobody understands you. It says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. When he says voices, he's talking about different languages in the world, but all of them have what? Significance. They have meaning. Verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. Meaning what? If you don't know what somebody's talking about, you're going to come off like you're uncivilized. What it means to be a barbarian? Like, man, I don't know this dude talking. He's talking some humdala that nobody understands. This dude is a damn savage. He's a barbarian. He says, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. So he's saying that if he's speaking an unknown language to somebody that don't understand this language, dude's going to look at him like, man, you uncivilized, and vice versa. It says, even so, ye, for verse 12. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, meaning, yeah, we're all happy to receive spiritual gifts. And he talked about in another chapter, the chapter before this, yeah, about receiving the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. So you might be zealous or happy to get this gift. He says, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church, meaning what? Instead of seeking to speak in another language, why don't you seek to edify? Edify the things that you already know. Simplify it, man, because the scriptures even talk about there being a simplicity of Christ. You know, I was talking about it the other day. I watched some brothers on YouTube or whatever having debates and talking to non-Israelites, and they were being lazy, man. And what I mean by that is they weren't going to the precepts. It was all their damn opinion, and they were just quoting scriptures rather than going to the scriptures and proving their point, overcomplicating things when, matter of fact, let me just get the scripture, man. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to start at verse 2. It says, for I am zealous over you with godly jealousy. No, I'm sorry. Let me read it correctly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. This is Paul speaking once again. He says, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Yahweh Shah, Christ. Meaning what, man? You got one doctrine, one way of doing things. Why are you all over the place? Verse 3, he says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ or Yahweh Shah. Meaning what, man? It's simple. It's not that complicated, y'all. It's not. for brothers out debating or teaching men, simplify it. It should be so simple that a child could get it. That's how simple it should be. The simpler it is, the deeper the understanding is. Stop just talking and trying to seem like you deep, man, and pull the scripture out. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 14:12. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. All about edification. And I got the definition of edification because, in case you didn't know, it means to instruct or benefit. If you're not instructing somebody or it's not to their benefit, then you're not helping them. It says especially morally or spiritually uplift. Synonyms for edify is enlighten or uplift. Educate. To educate them. So what Paul is saying here is this. I'm going to read it again. He says, even verse 12, even so ye for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to educate the church. Because that's one of the synonyms for edifying. Educate them. Don't be all over the place trying to be Mr. Mystical and Mr. Deep. Make it simple. Educate somebody. Verse 13, for let him that speak it in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. You see this? Everything's supposed to be interpreted, edified. Not, oh, this is the unknown. Oh, I bet you ain't up on this. Oh, I speak to God in this language right here, but you can't do it. No. The Most High never meant for his word not to be understood. He never meant that. And, you know, that was one of the things that attracted me to the truth, man, because when I was in the church, all I would hear to the questions I would ask was, God works in mysterious ways. Well, that's just the way of the Lord. That's just the way he works. Well, nobody knows. This big-ass book and don't nobody know nothing? Come on, man. The question I used to always ask, man, I remember asking it too. I was like, okay, I read Genesis. I read about Adam. I read about Eve. And then I read about these other people. Where these other people come from? Did Adam and Eve just, they had gave birth to the whole world? And then if they did, then that means the whole world is just committing incest. These were the questions that I had that I would take to this church cat. They couldn't answer none of them. He would tell me that stupid stuff. Well, God works in his ways. He left us this big book, but you're telling me it's not in the book? Come on, man. Anyway, back to the point. It says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayed, but my understanding. Wait a minute. Let me read verse 13 again. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. I mean, he got to have an interpreter. Tell people what he's praying. It's just like when we have new people come to class, we'll say something or pray in Hebrew, but we'll come back in the scriptures and show them what we said and why we're saying it. That's the way it should be. And you shouldn't be going anywhere praying in the tongue that you don't know, you don't understand. Nah, man, you got to show me what that means. I'm not just finna be up here saying stuff. Because I remember the first time going to class, or maybe not the first time, but the first time I was hearing brothers pray, and they wanted me to repeat. I'm like, I ain't repeating that. I don't know what you niggas saying. And this is just me. But this is where you should be. I don't know what the hell you said. I'm not going to repeat. You could be praying to Satan himself right now. Because I don't understand what you're saying. The brothers, they interpreted what they were saying. They interpreted, and then I started getting into learning Hebrew, learned the Hebrew alphabet, got the Hebrew pack. I'm like, oh, okay, these brothers are really speaking Hebrew. But I wasn't going to take their word for it. But this way you should be. It should be interpreted. Verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful, no doubt. If I just go, I don't know Hebrew, I don't know what they're saying, I'm praying in it. Yeah, my spirit In spirit, I'm zealous. In spirit, I want to do right. In spirit, I want to please the Most High. But my understanding is unfruitful because I don't know what the hell I just prayed for. Because I wasn't even praying in the language that I'm accustomed to speaking and hearing things in. I'm praying in something I don't even understand. So how am I going to benefit from it? Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. You see that? Because it's a question. Verse 15, I'm reading it again. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. You have to understand what the hell you're talking about or what somebody else is talking about, y'all. Verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, mean you're in the spirit, you're trying to do good things, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? I mean, and that's why I love the fact that brothers go back after the Hebrew and break down what they just said in English and give you the reason why they did it. Just what it's talking about. Verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the spirit. So you're speaking in the spirit in an unknown tongue. It says, how shall he that occupied the room, the person that's with you, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned, meaning he doesn't know the language you're praying in, say amen. The word amen means so be it. How are you going to sign off on something you don't understand? It says, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Yeah, you did a good job of praying and stuff, but don't nobody know what you said. Verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. So Paul's like, man, I thank the Most High that I'm able to speak in different languages more than anybody else. That was a spiritual gift he was given. I know, like I brought up earlier, man, the brother called Cobb picking up languages like it's nothing. I still have trouble with English. Anyway, verse 19. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also. He said he would yet rather speak 5 words with his own understanding. He says that my voice I might teach others also. Meaning he'd rather teach people. He says than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So he's like, man, he would rather speak just 5 words and have people be edified, understand what he's saying, than to speak 10,000 words in another language. And I know some people be really thinking they deep because they speaking in an unknown tongue that nobody understand. Dude, you only being smart for you. You only trying to impress people, but nobody knows what you're saying. Verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. I mean, don't be a child to this. Just go along with the program. How be it in malice be ye children. I love this scripture because, and we was talking about this in Sabbath class on Saturday, man, how we be holding grudges. But this is why the scripture is here. It says, how be in malice be ye children. Children don't hold grudges. They'll get into it. They'll have an incident, but 5 minutes later, 2 minutes later, you look up and they what? They plan again. They happy as two peas in a pod. You never could tell they had some beef or some altercation. But he's telling us that we should be like that as adults. It says, but in understanding be men. Meaning you better understand like a grown-up, like an adult. Don't just go along to get along. Verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, said the Lord. No doubt, man. Because you can give somebody the Bible all day in English and in their preferred language that they understand, they still ain't trying to hear it because it goes against what they believe, the way they grew up, or just the way they want to live. the way they want to operate. Verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. I mean, they are for a sign for you to teach, teach other people in different languages. It says not to them that believe, because you already believe. That you already got it taught to you in your language to where you can understand. But somebody else that speak another tongue, they might not get it, get the understanding that you got from the scriptures. That's why it's a beautiful thing. If you do speak another language, therefore you can go out and teach the other tribes. You can go out and teach Zebulun. You can go out and teach Issachar. You can go out and teach Asher. You can go out and teach the brothers all in Brazil because you speak Portuguese. You can go out. You can go to Haiti and teach them brothers because you speak French. Hell, you can go to Asia and speak Cantonese to those brothers that are over there. Or go to Indians and teach the brothers that grew up thinking they were Elamites. So it is a beautiful thing if you can speak in their language, in another language, to show them the scriptures that they can understand it like you do. This is not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesy, or prophesy means to teach, serve it not for them that believe not, meaning you gonna, I don't care what language you speak it in. You speak God's word in. It says some people that ain't going to believe. It says, but for them which believe. It's for the believers only. It's an exclusive club, like members only. Remember the members only jackets? Well, the truth is for what? First of all, it's for Israelite, but it's for an Israelite that believes in the Bible, that believes in the Most High, Yahusha. Verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, everybody in there can speak different languages, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they say? Will they not say that ye are mad? Meaning what? They don't understand. They unlearn, and then you got to unlearn with the unbelievers. I don't understand. So what you got to do, you got to let them understand in whatever preferred language that they speak in. Even the unbelievers, you got to show them in whatever preferred language that they understand. It says, will they not say that ye are mad? Why are they going to say you mad? Because you speak in a language they don't understand. If everybody's in the school or in the church speaking in different languages, and the person that comes in don't know the Bible or they don't believe in the Bible, they're going to say, oh, these niggas is crazy. I knew y'all was crazy. Verse 24, but if all prophesy, which means to teach and edify, and there come in one that believe it not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. Why is he convinced? Because he understands what the hell you're saying in his language. He is judged of all. Verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Why? Because he understands. He understands why it says the secrets of his heart, meaning his mind, are going to be made manifest because he's going to express it to you. Man, y'all brothers know what y'all talking about. That makes sense to me. Why is he saying this? Because you showed him this scripture. You showed him that scripture. You did what the Bible told you to do, which was what? Put a precept with a precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. This is what you showed this brother. This is why he said, man, as a truth, the Most High is in y'all, man. You brothers know the Bible. Because he can understand whatever preferred language his language is, and you're edifying. You're actually teaching. You're not talking at someone. You're talking to them. There's a difference, man. Like the scripture even tells you, says some preach Christ by contention. I mean, I just want to debate all the damn time. oh, I just want you to listen, and it's my way, and I ain't got to explain nothing to you. No, it don't work like that. Verse 26, it says, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you have a song, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation. See, you see what Paul is saying? It's not just he's talking about language. He's talking about different things that people be gloating about. I got a song. I bet you didn't see this, brother. I can speak in tongues. The Most High revealed this to me. I think that we've been interpreting this wrong. All of this talking about vainglory, man. A brother trying to be on some damn level. Instead of simplifying things, educating people, edifying. That's why it says at the end of this precept, let all things be done unto edifying. You see this? Read it again. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Can you educate? Let me get the definition again. Can you instruct or benefit people, especially morally or spiritually? Can you uplift people, enlighten people, educate? He said that all things be done to the edifying or the educating of instructing our people. That's what it's supposed to be about. Not just you on some level. Verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Somebody got to tell you what they're saying. Verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in church. Man, shut up. And let him speak to himself and the God. Rightly so. Don't nobody understand you. Verse 29. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Verse 30. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. See, it's all about learning. Verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. Meaning what? You need somebody else there with you that know the Bible, that so they can decide whether or not you know what the hell you're talking about. That's what it means. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. That's why the scripture tells you, let me get it. 1 John 4:1. That's why the scripture says this, man. First John chapter 4 and verse 1. And it reads, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. How you going to try the spirit? Because if what they saying don't match up with the Bible, then you know that they off. You know this dude is not prophesying. You know this dude don't know nothing. He ain't teaching. And it says, because many false prophets are going out into the world. You see this? This is why you got, matter of fact, read it again, 1 Corinthians. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Man, you see this? How they just match up so beautifully. The only way you gonna know that this brother is prophesying correctly is if you know the Bible yourself. Scripture say iron sharp as iron, right? This is the only way you gonna know. You better know the Bible. Oh yeah. verse 30. Okay, verse 33. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion." You see that, man? This is why the spirit of the prophets are subject to another prophet. What they say in the world, game recognized game. He says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints," man. Let your women, because then he go into this, man, this is talking about more than just languages. He's talking about order. He's talking about vainglory, as well as talking about languages. He says, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law." Meaning what, man? You ain't just going to be over here just running off at the mouth, being disruptive. You see this? This is talking about etiquette, church etiquette, behavior, all of it. You know, and the sisters, man, y'all really have it good because y'all are able to ask questions in class and get edified. But that just attests to how we are truly in captivity, because you got to go to another man to learn your book. We supposed to know this. But this is the condition of our captivity. Verse 35. "And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husband at home." Now, this is the way it should be, but because of our current state, most brothers don't even know the Bible. It's certain questions a sister might have that their husband don't know. Let's just be real about it. Because nobody knows every damn thing. It says, "For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church." You see this? Paul is establishing order, y'all. And he started in the very first verse of chapter of Corinthians. He gives more detail in chapter 11, and he's getting down into it in this chapter right here. He says, verse 36, "What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only?" Meaning, like I just said, man, everybody ain't got the whole script, the whole Bible. There's nothing wrong with it. Different brothers got different parts, different pieces. Verse 37, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Meaning what, man? Stick to the scriptures. Stick to the script. Don't stop coming with your own opinion. Stop trying to be extra deep. Keep it simple. This is what the scriptures say. Verse 38. "But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant." Meaning what? If he don't want to be taught, let his ass not be untaught. Let him not be edified. Let him be ignorant still. "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, to teach, and forbid not to speak with tongues." Meaning nothing's wrong with speaking in a different language. You got to have an interpreter. That's why he says, verse 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order," man, to be done. You got to have an interpreter. Now, since we're talking about the tongue, I wanted to go into this. That's why I put in the title, "Watch What You Say." Let's go to James now. James chapter 3. I know my rib needs this chapter just tattooed on her forehead and her brain cells. She has this bad. And a lot of us do, man. James chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 2. No, let me start at 1. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters." See this? Not many masters, meaning what, man? Stop trying to control every damn thing and be on some level at vainglory again. "Knowing that we shall receive the greater commendation." Meaning what? If you're a lord over somebody, you have that much greater responsibility. And if you mess up, you're going to receive the greater judgment. You're going to get hit hard. Like Christ said, he that knew his master's will and knew his master's coming shall be beaten, and said and did it not, shall be beaten with many stripes, because you knew better. But him that didn't know, He's going to be beaten with field stripes because he ain't know no better, but he's still going to get beat. But we have a greater responsibility because we know more. That's why the scripture tells you, what is it, in Ecclesiasticus 1 and 8, I think it is, when it says, he that increases in knowledge increases in sorrow, or 1 and 18, Ecclesiasticus, this is what it's talking about. You know more, so now you're held accountable for more because you know more. It says, verse 2, for in many things we offend. See, that everybody offends somebody. If any man offend, not in word, the same as a perfect man. And we know ain't nobody perfect. We all say things that come out of our mouth that are offensive to people. It says this man is perfect and able also to bridle the whole body. So if this man learns how to control his tongue, he'll control his actions and other people's actions. Y'all remember the saying, you probably heard it, don't write a check with your mouth that your ass can't cash. This is what it's talking about. You better be very careful about what you say. You better have some, what's the word I'm looking for? Discretion. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And you do, man. You put the sugar cubes in the horse mouth and take the reins and you can steer them where you want to steer them. This is a huge animal, man. If you got kicked off a horse or kicked by a horse, man, you could die. That's how massive these animals are. They're big, big beasts. But they're controlled by little sugar cubes. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And you are, man, those big cruise ships or tankers or whatever, they have them helms like a steering wheel. Small thing to control this huge gigantic piece of equipment that's driven by winds, man, but it's controlled by something very small. Now watch this. It says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. So your tongue is a small member of your body, but it can start a world of trouble, man, just by what's coming out of your mouth. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So it is the tongue among our members that it defiled the whole body and set it on fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Yeah, man, like I said, your tongue can start a lot of chaos and commotion. And once again, we see this word tongue, and we see it is still talking about talking and what's coming out of your mouth. And remember, tongue is a language, y'all. Also, see, this goes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So if something's coming out of your mouth that can start all this chaos, somebody's got to understand what you're saying. And whatever language you're saying it in, you better watch your mouth. Verse 7, kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. Y'all see men, Esau, taming them down, wild animals. Whether it be a lion, whether they taming those apes or whatever the hell. I seen these one Edomites messing around with damn crocodiles and not getting ate up. I don't know how the hell that's possible. But it's saying that all these beasts can be tamed, but listen to this, verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. You can't control another person's mouth. Trust me, I've done the research. And I don't know what the hell be going to come out this woman's mouth half the time. It says, it is an unruly evil. And that's exactly what it is I'll be trying to show us. Full of deadly poison. It is, man. It really is. How many times you've seen somebody get into an altercation and you knew the altercation was coming based off of what they said to the other person, and you knew to get the hell out of the way because you knew it was coming? You're like, man, did you hear what he just? Yep, I heard it. That's why I'm moving. Let's go. Party done. You'll know it, man. You will know it. Verse 9, it says, therewith bless we God, or the Most High, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And we do this, man. We'll speak good things about somebody, but in the same breath, we'll say something negative about them. It says, which are made after the similitude of God. So we're talking about who, in essence, the Most High. Verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Meaning we shouldn't be doing this, y'all. Like I say, watch what you say. It says, verse 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? It's giving us an example. Nobody's drinking out of a water fountain that's got good water and bitter water. Because what? The bitter's going to overpower the sweet water. You don't want to drink that. Like drinking damn San Antonio tap water. Like, because your body needs the water to survive, but you don't want to drink this water. Tastes gross. Even smell bad. Anyway, verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and it with knowledge among you? Let him shoot out of a good conversation with his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Now, see what he's talking about? Yeah, he started off talking about language, but what is the root cause of the language being spoken, of the world being set on fire by what you said? The bitter and envy and strife in your heart, and the vainglory that you want. That's the root cause of it. Verse 14 says it all. Verse 15 says, this wisdom descended not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. This it comes from the Most High. It says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So if somebody's snapping off and getting smart with the tongue, like my wife, what's going on there? Envy, some strife, some confusion, and some evil work is what's going on. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's why I tell you in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, let me get it. Words mean a lot, y'all. The tongue means a lot. Proverbs 15 and 1, a soft answer turn it away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. You ever heard the saying, keep the peace? You can keep the peace just with your conversation, man. You see somebody's having a jacked up day and you ask them how they doing and they snap at you. Should you snap back at them? If you want the smoke, right? But if you want to keep that peace going, like it tells you in James, the righteousness of peace is on those that make peace, you answer them back very pleasantly. Like it's telling us in Proverbs 15 and 1, soft answers turn away wrath. It's really hard to argue with somebody that don't want to argue with you. You got to just be dead set on arguing. If you argue with somebody, they ain't arguing back with you. That's why the scripture says this, Ecclesiastes chapter 28, verse 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 28, verse 11, and it reads, it says, "And hasty contention kindle a fire." You see this? Fighting shedded blood. Now, what's the cause of it? Verse 12. "If thou blow the spark, it shall burn. If thou spit on it, it shall be quenched. And both these come out of the mouth." Y'all see this? So what's causing the contention and killing the fire? Your mouth. Your mouth. Like it tells you in James, verse 13. It says, "Curse the whisperer and double tongue. For such have destroyed many that were at peace," man. You see this, man? And we got a little bit of this going on now, man. What is it? Double tongue. Talking. Spreading rumors in the camp. Things that may or may not have been said. But the point is, you keeping the animosity going when you should have did what? You should have spit on it. Okay, I don't like what was said. That was, I don't appreciate it. I was offended. But what is the right course of action? Should I sit on it? Is it that big of an issue where I got to set the whole world on fire? A lot of times it ain't, y'all. A lot of times, tuck it in. Put it in your pocket somewhere. Or go to the person directly. Like the scripture tells you, if you have argued with your brother, go to him and him alone. Him and him alone. Don't go to the people around him. And then he get back to him, and now he upset because, man, he could have just came to me. See how that works? It says, "Curse the whisper and double tongue, for such have destroyed many that were at peace. A backbiting tongue had disquieted many." You see this, man? Put your tongue in park. Why are you always running off at the damn mouth? I tell you, man, a lot of issues will get resolved if people did more listening than they do talking. Verse 14. "A backbiting tongue had disquieted many and driven them from nation to nation. Strong cities have it pulled down." So a tongue is pulled down, strong city, a backbiting tongue, "and overthrown the houses of great men." This is just the tongue. Remember, it tells you James is a little member, but it causes huge, significant problems. Verse 15, "A backbiting tongue out virtuous women and deprived them of their labor. Whoso hearkeneth unto it shall never find rest and never dwell quietly." So when somebody bringing you some mess, you should just ignore it, man. Why? Verse 16, "Whoso hearken it," I mean, whoever's listening to it, "shall never find rest." You ain't never going to get no peace. Why? Because of this backbiting tongue, man. Just ignore it. Verse 17, "The stroke of the whip make it marks in the flesh, but the stroke of the tongue breaketh the bones." Come on, man. How powerful are words? 18. "Many have fallen by the edge of the sword, but not so many as have fallen by the tongue." Meaning more people have actually died by words than actual blows of fighting or gunshots, because what do those words eventually lead to? Violence, somebody putting their hands on somebody else when it could have been avoided. Man, why do you think there's so many damn domestic disputes and domestic violence? Why do you think that? Men and women, man, because some women think they can say anything to a man. And they know how to push those buttons. You old punk. We know that. Them, man, them fighting words. Them is fighting words. Or you old. We know, man, come on. for a break. You're trying to speak. We already know it. Hands are being thrown. Words sometimes are enough to kill over. I'm not saying you should do it. I'm not. But we have to give the understanding of how powerful our words really are, how powerful our tongue really is. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. And it reads, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart, out of your mind, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And we know that the scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So the things that are in your mind, they're going to eventually manifest by coming out of your mouth or by your actions. It says, but I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And this ain't just talking about being judged of the Most High. If you speak an idle word and then it comes up in a council or it comes up amongst other people, then you're going to get the judgment for you speaking. You're going to get the repercussions for you speaking reckless, for you speaking out of the side of your neck, for you saying something that's idle. You know, it's crazy, man. I hit my cousin up this weekend. I hadn't talked to him since I was in St. Louis, like, last September. But I hit him up, man, trying to get the number of a childhood friend we came up with, man, we was cool with. And first he was like, he didn't know who I was talking about. And then I explained a little bit more on the name because we called each other, you know, nicknames or whatever. So I used his real name, and he's like, man, you know, he been dead for almost a year now. I'm like, huh? I had no idea, man. And, you know, I was thinking about him, and I was thinking about my cousin, who I knew was dead. But we used to hang out, man, and we had some good times. And, you know, I was kind of missing them brothers. So I wanted to call him up and see how he was doing. My cousin told me he was dead. Then we started talking a little bit more, and he was telling me how it was all on Facebook and whatnot. And I'm like, I ain't been on Facebook. You know, I got off of it. I ain't on it like that. So I didn't know. But he was talking about, yeah, man, he was doing reckless stuff. He was on Facebook burning Bibles. And I was like, and I wasn't surprised when he told me this, because that was one of the reasons I had got off, man, because me and him would be going back and forth about his disdain for the Bible and for the Most High. He didn't believe. And I was like, man, all right, man, that's what you want to believe. I just left it alone, and I wasn't dealing with him. But like I said, I was thinking about him, you know, it popped in my mind. But anyway, when my cousin told me that, because I didn't know, I didn't actually see that, but I wasn't surprised to hear it. I wasn't surprised. Like, dude, look at what, all the stuff you've been saying. Look at your behavior. And I'm going to read the scripture again, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, this is what I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And that was your judgment right there, bro. The Most High judged you. 37, for by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. See this? You can either justify or you can condemn yourself just based off of what you say. The Most High ain't playing, y'all. Our tongue is very powerful. There was another scripture. I couldn't find the scripture. I should have hit in Meshaba up. But if y'all remember, I think it's in Judges where the brother had, he prayed to the Most High, and he told the Most High that if he had gave him the victory, that when he came home, to made it back to his home, the first thing he saw, he was going to sacrifice. He was going to sacrifice. And the first thing he saw was his daughter. That's what he saw. And so he had to keep the sacrifice or the vow that he had made because he vowed. Let me get that one, though. I think it's a number. Yeah, that's it. Number chapter 30, verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeded out of his mouth. Why, man? Because you said it. That's why Christ said, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay, man. Don't swear on the don't put that on the Most High. Don't put that on your mama. Don't put that on your kids, because you might just have to, or that bet might just be called. They might just be took out because you put something on them that you didn't have to, because Christ said don't do it. Just let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Say what you mean and mean what you say. It's that simple, man. Don't say stuff you don't mean. That's why it's not good to say stuff out of anger, man. Sometimes you got to calm down. Calm down so you don't say some real hurtful stuff, man. Cause, and then the person you said it to, they'll forgive you, but they ain't going to forget that that came out your mouth, which means they were still hurt by the statement. And in the back of their mind, it's still there, y'all. So I just want us to be conscious of that, man. That's the 90-second marker. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to Blog Talk and keeping Blog Talk going by y'all's participation and y'all listening in. Keep coming with the questions, y'all. If you have a question on any topic, please hit us up, myself or Mashaba, and we'll go over it, man, because sometimes it's hard just coming up with different topics, you know, and just don't want to keep going over the same thing over and over again. If we do, we will, man, because it's always good to refresh. But we like to get some, you know, some other topics, different things we may have not thought of. But keep them coming in, man, and keep tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. And I'd like to thank Mashaba for hooking up the broadcast. Matter of fact, my brother's in town this week, so I'm going to reach out to him, man, hopefully hook up, maybe get something to eat, some lunch, some dinner or something, man. But thank y'all for tuning in, man, and bless y'all, man, 12 Tribes Worldwide. Barakataya Hawaba, Shem Yahushai, blessed be the Lord and the God. That's what I said, man. Blessed is the name of God and who the world calls Jesus Christ. That's what I said in English. That's the translation of it, y'all. All right, y'all. Signing off. Shalom.